What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic or you are listening to us wherever podcasts are served, we certainly do appreciate your support. And of course, this show wouldn't be possible without the help of our sponsors, Delete, the tech giants. Make a fortune selling your personal information to all kinds of outlets for them to use as they please. Delete Me removes your personal information like name, age, address, email address, home information, things like that, from the leading data broker sites. And removing this personal information from data broker websites helps to reduce your online footprint and remove Google search results. Now, they've been featured in the Wall Street Journal, CNET, New York Times, NPR, and with over 20 million personal listings removed, DeleteMe is the most trusted and proven privacy solution available. So check them out. Use the link in the description. It will help to support the show as well. We're also brought to you by Fiverr. If you're looking to outsource some of your work or you just need specialized help with a project that you're working on, you need to check out Fiverr. They have a network of thousands of freelance experts in business, design, programming and tech, digital marketing, music and audio, video animation, whatever you need. They've got it there. You need someone to build out a website or help you grow your current business with a digital marketing campaign. You can find thousands of people ready to get to work for you on a fixed price that you set at Fiverr. So check the link in the description box below. And Cash Advance is our last sponsor. And boy, I'll tell you, we are living through a very strange time filled with an unbelievable amount of uncertainty. We don't know what the world's going to look like a week from now, a month from now. If you find yourself in a financial emergency and in need of money right away, at least you have an option with Cash Advance. You can submit your request online, receive an answer within minutes, and understand what programs they have available for you. Their online service is entirely free, works to find potential lenders in their network. Just fill out the secure online form, see which option works best for you. And I really hope you don't need this service. I hope you don't need Cash Advance, but if you are in a situation where you need money last minute, at least you have an option. Please click the link in the description box to see what they have to offer. We certainly do appreciate it. Well, I'll tell you what, there's nobody that should be on this show right now other than Bishop Larry Gators. I mean, let's be honest. We need somebody to help us unpack the insanity of what we're seeing. We've got COVID. We've got riots. We've got Antifa. We've got police acting like maniacs. We've got the media mischaracterizing everybody. We've got some real legitimate frustration and anger that's bubbling up, not just in the Black community, but you know, let's face it, this was where it started. it's hard to differentiate between who's mad about the beatings, who's mad about police brutality, who's mad about the cops acting like jerks for the last month telling people they can't stand on the beach. So
right.
Might be a combination of everything, or just the people looking to let off some steam. So let's get into it with the host of Global Spiritual Revolution Radio Media Group, Bishop Larry Gators. Hello, Bishop. Good to have you on. How are you?
Brother Charlie, it is such a great honor to be on your powerful show, and to your audience, I'm telling you, you guys are very blessed to have a true man of God like Brother Charlie, who's a great author and a great patriot and a great thinker. So so we had him on our show, and oh my, some time ago, we got to get him back on as a regular. So thank you so much, Brother Charlie, for the opportunity today to unpack something that is going to blow away the minds of your people, of your listeners.
Yeah, we need that. And you know, we've all got opinions on it. I was at USC in 1992 in South Central Los Angeles when the riots kicked off there.
Yes.
It was one of those things where, as you know, as white America, let's be honest, if I were any whiter, I'd be clear. You know, for white America, get a chance to see what happens in the black community when people aren't watching, or when the white America wasn't watching. We saw Timothy Briseño and Stacey Kuhn and these maniacs beating Rodney King.
Yes.
And we were stunned. We felt as if, we had been, you know, we were being let in on some secret that the rest of black community knew very well. And right. We were mortified by that. And then to see the trial go on, and these, and we just thought, well, but they're, of course, I mean, these guys are as guilty as can be. And of course they're going to go to jail. And then Nothing happened. They were let out. And then The riots explode. And then Reginald Denny gets pulled out of his truck. And I saw, as somebody there, I'm not a full-time resident of South Central Los Angeles, but for 4 years I was there at school. And so that becomes part of your community. You shop at the grocery stores, you interact with the people, you're a little isolated on campus and everything.
Right.
But that becomes your neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And to see it, bam, go like that. And I can't speak for everybody in the white community, but I think a lot of us felt like, well, I'm glad that the black community is standing up. I don't like the riots. I don't like the burning down of the buildings, but the unity in anger and deciding that it's, I loved that there was a lot of pressure to get things changed. And yet here we are now 28 years later and we're living the same thing. What's wrong? What, we haven't fixed these things. We haven't fixed this systemic problem inside the police force that causes this. And I'm not going to say that the police, you know, that it was only this one incident that was doing it, but this has just been building and building and building for a long, long time. And I would like to have thought that after those riots in 92, that we were going to work these things out and we weren't going to have to go down this path again. But unfortunately, here we are again. Bishop, what's happening? What's happening in the world right now?
And, you know, in that, as a side note, in that 1992 LA riots, the Bush administration, Senior Bush, through HUD, wanted to, through gentrification, change the entire structure, the schematical landscape of South Central. So this is what we call problem, reaction, solution, as the great David Icke always teaches us. Is that what the government does, especially on the left, they create a catastrophe, Rodney King, four cops, okay, that will elicit a emotional reaction from black people, not just from black people, but people who don't know who they are, don't know what they are, and don't know where they're going. Because when people begin to react, it represents that their emotions and their trauma, which I call historical trauma, which has never been dealt with, Brother Charlie, has now become weaponized against themselves. So thereby, South Central, the black community, reaches out to the government to pressure the federal government for a solution in which the government that created the catastrophe in the first place will already come up with the solution that they had before they created the catastrophe. So the problem I see with these riots, it goes back in history, and it really pinpoints what I call the paradigm of manipulation, the paralysis of emotion. The Russian poet, who is also considered the father of modern-day Russia, Alexander Pushkin, had once said that a deception that elevates us is dearer than a host of low truths. What does that mean? So then when we talk about the term paradigm, it means a set pattern or a set replication of thought through a people who don't know who they are. They know what they are, but they don't know who they are. And number two, the deep state has been examining and studying the Black psychic for centuries. So then because, and you know me, man of God, I don't teach victimhood. I am a Black conservative. I am a supporter of President Donald J. Trump. So, but the paradigm of Black thought represents that the trauma, the historical trauma, in the historical pain because of 430 years of systemic racism and mental and psychological financial oppression, it has built within the Black psyche a foundation of what I call mental death, that now the deep state is using the pain and the trauma in order to weaponize it against itself, against us. So then when we talk about a paradigm here, we're talking about a set pattern or a set replication of thought. The term paralysis simply means the loss of the ability of the individual to think, to move, to reason, to understand, through the inability to decipher between that which is good and that which is evil. Because of this anger, not of all Black America, but a great proportion through the Democratic Party has become the manipulators and the puppet masters that is causing this react because of the murder of George Floyd, okay? Which has nothing to do with racism, Charlie. Let me say this again. I know a lot of your African-American listeners, they may or may not agree with the bishop, but the tragedy of the death, the murder of Brother George Floyd had nothing to do with racism because Derek Chauvin and George Floyd not only worked together, but they knew each other. And the nightclub owner that I'm going to reveal later on not only knew these two individuals, but she knew the late Kobe Bryant. So I want to build this foundation as we're talking about this paradigm of manipulation through the psyop of what I call not just victimhood, but emotionalism. Go right ahead, brother. Look at you, just getting ready to say something.
No, I didn't. I wasn't expecting the Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
dropped in there.
Exactly. And so Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa Bryant, used to attend that club many years ago. So I'm going to tie that in. And again, I'm not blaming anyone for the death of Kobe Bryant. But my assignment here today, Brother Charlie, is to connect the dots as to why Black people, and I'm saying this to Black people because I'm Black, why we keep being manipulated time and time again because of the death of a Black man from a white cop or a Black cop. Thereby, we are forced to react in violence, okay? So that brings us to what we call manipulation. So then manipulation is the psyop that alters and transforms, okay, and transliterates behavior that we call behavior modification, okay, that one's perception. Let me give you a case in point. When Black people look at President Trump, not all Black people, But they look at President Trump not as the president, but they look at President Trump as through the PSYOP, thinking that he is a slave master, that he's a racist. And there was a former slave owner going back to the 1700s, a man by the name of Willie Lynch. Okay. And all of your listeners can look up his the Willie Lynch 1712 letter to the slave owners, not just in the state of Virginia, in the Hamptons, but throughout the South, where Willie Lynch taught the art of what we call buck breaking, capital B-U-C-K, where slaves that could not be controlled, men and women, were sent to the Caribbean, like Jamaica and Cuba and St. Martinique, where they were stripped down, Brother Robinson, naked, and put down on the ground chest first and molested by the slave master. That's what we call the term buck breaking. So this PSYOP, this paradigm of thinking, the replication of cognition, through the paralysis of our emotions that are now being manipulated, okay, by hidden puppet masters like Barack Obama, Joe, Uncle Joe, Sleepy, Creeping, Snipping Biden, okay, Michelle Obama, George Soros, Antifa. And as a quick side note, Antifa's headquarters is in Springfield, Minnesota, which is also one of the main headquarters for a brick company by the name of the Acme Brick Company, capital A-C-E-M-E. Who owns the Acme Brick Company? Okay, Warren Buffett. I'm going to come back to him in a minute, because 80% of the businesses, not all, Brother Charlie, but 80% of the businesses in Minneapolis are underwritten through the Berkshire Hathaway Corporation. So then when we're talking about the paradigm of manipulation through the PSYOP of what I call not just victimhood, but the paralysis of emotion, so then we have to examine the term emotion or emotion-based reasoning. So then we have in history of people who only know what they are, but they don't know who they are. They'd rather call themselves 50 cent, quarter, nickel, penny, Ice Tea, Ice Cube, Ice Tray, Pit Bull, Snoop Dogg, Tupac, 5-pack, 10-pack, because they don't know who they are. They know what they are, okay? Through an animalistic psyop, not all Black people, but a percentage. Why? Because this is a generational curse in the bloodline that's been passed down because of 430 years of global enslavement. Again, I'm not teaching victimhood, but when I'm revealing to your audience as to why Black people think the way they think. So this is the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion. So then trauma, not just trauma, but historical trauma and emotions are now being manipulated and weaponized against the individual. Now, quickly here, before we get back to you, Brother Charlie, that there is a well-known clinical psychologist in history by the name of Dr. Kurt Lewin, okay, who was very well connected to the Rothschild dynasty out of Great Britain. But Dr. Kurt Lewin, who was a clinical psychologist out of Germany, that in 1930 traveled to Stanford University in California and created the Parapsychology Research Institute, where Dr. Bruce McCandless today is the director of the Parapsychology Research Institute, the same institute that goes back 70, 75 years to 1930, when Dr. Kurt Lewin had created this PSYOP of an organization. So the Parapsychology Research Institute today not only has their director, Dr. Bruce McCandless, who is also the California Silicon Valley director of a Chinese online educational initiative called VidKid, VIP kit. Well, that VidKid organization, as a side note, is owned by two women, Cindy Wenjiangmi, whose family is connected to the Chinese Communist Party. Also, Cindy Wenjiangmi's family are members of the Zetland Masonics Lodge 525 in Hong Kong, along with President Xi Jinping and his entire cabinet. Well, Kobe Bryant wrote her a $1 million check on the same day that the Bryant Stable Venture Capital Fund went public through their initial public offering here in Wall Street, okay, August of 2016. So then Kobe Bryant was introduced to this woman. We're going to get back to the psyop here of manipulation and emotionalism in the next 2 minutes. But Kobe Bryant was introduced to this woman for the very first time. And Kobe Bryant wrote her a check for $1 million. Well, who introduced Kobe Bryant to this woman? A man by the name of Jeffrey Morgan Stiebel, who sits on the board of the Parapsychology Institute today in Stanford, Florida, including a woman by the name of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. Brett Kavanaugh. Is that interesting? So we're talking about the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion. So Dr. Kurt Lewin is the pioneer of what we call social organizational applied psychology, which is also designated as emotional dysregulation disorder, or better known as we call social distancing. So social distancing, because of COVID-19, is rooted in the teaching of Dr. Kurt Lewin going back to the 1930s concerning social, organizational, and applied psychology through emotional dysregulation, which is social distancing. In other words, that's the inability of the individual, Brother Charlie, to control or to regulate their emotional responses to provocative outside stimuli, George Floyd. So problem, reaction, solution. So it's rooted in the historical pain and trauma of a people, which people, Black America, not all, but a great percentage, they have never dealt with their trauma. And because of that, my brother, there is a foundation which we call triggers, okay? So what is a trigger? A trigger is a psychological disorder where the individual, because of a certain look of another person, of the opposite sex or color, a certain smell, a certain color, a certain geographical location, that individual, because of unchecked trauma that they had never dealt with from a scientific, psychological standpoint through healing, they will be used as what I call present day guinea pigs, psychological guinea pigs. Because when I look at Antifa, when I look not just at Antifa, but the Acme Brick Company that's located in the geographical location of Springfield, Minnesota. Wait a minute now. So the Acme Brick Company, and we're getting thousands of pallets of bricks all over America with the Acme insignia ingrained on the brick, that Warren Buffett, okay, in this Sunnybrook Farm persona he has, but he is behind this, including the governor of the state of Illinois, Jay Pritzker, okay? So Jay Pritzker owns the Mormon Group, and 80% of the Mormon Group is owned by Berkshire Hathaway, that owns the Acme Brick Company. What am I saying? This is psychological warfare, because these devils know, they know for a certainty that the psyop of the pain and the trauma of Black America, not just Black America, but all people of races and colors and ethnicities, that their trauma is being used as a tool of manipulation. That when they see a white cop, okay, putting his knee on the neck of a black man, okay, they're thinking it's racism. Every case must be judged according to its merit. Now, in the case of Derek Chauvin and George Floyd, it was not a case of racism. It was the case concerning financial transactions that I'm going to get into later on if we have time. It has nothing to do with this. And as a side note, the owner, the former owner of the nightclub, all right, the El Novio Rodeo nightclub in Minneapolis, okay, was once owned by this this Maya Santa Maria, who knows Vanessa Bryant. I'm not saying that Miss Santa Maria is involved in Kobe's assassination. I'm just connecting dots as we're talking about the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion here today. So I'm just kind of laying this foundation from a psychological standpoint as to why we are seeing the rioting here in the United States and around the world. Because the rioters don't even know why they are rioting. And they didn't even know George Floyd, who had that New World Order tattooed on his chest, okay? Order out of chaos. Who was George Floyd? Well, he was connected to a former NBA star by the name of Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson's mother, Juliet Jackson, she owns a powerful clinical psychology firm in Texas, okay? And so I'm going to bring that out later on. So concerning Steven Jackson, concerning George Floyd, and as a side note, Steven Jackson, he keeps saying that he was the twin brother of George Floyd. That's, again, that's another topic for another day, which I don't believe. But getting back to the subject at hand here. So then when we talk about PSYOP, the PSYOP of the media, for the term media is from the root term medium, which means witch in the Bible. So the crack news network, CBS, CNBC, MSNBC, these are political PSYOPs that are manipulating the pain and the historical trauma from a people. When they look at President Trump, they don't look at him as a great president. They look at him as Willie Lynch. Because Willie Lynch, in his 1712 manifesto, he taught the, this is how you make a slave, the making of a slave. So there's a book called Willie Lynch, The Making of a Slave. It talks about that Willie Lynch said, Brother Charlie, that these are keys that are in my bag that I'm going to reveal to you slave owners, how to divide the dark ones from the light ones, okay? Male versus the female, the mother versus the son, the mother or the father versus the daughter. So we're going to put within the psychic of the slave fear, distrust, envy, and control. So fear, distrust, envy, and control. We see it today. It was even the same slave owner, and this gets really scary now as we're talking about the psyop of both manipulation through the psyop of emotionalism. So Willie Lynch had said in 1712 that this psyop will last 300 years. Well, what is the date that the 300th year will begin from 1712? Well, the 300th year from 1712 is 2012, which was the year that Barack Hussein Obama gets reelected. Things don't change. They get worse here. And so now we're going through here. Dr. Kirk Lewin, okay, he's teaching social distancing through emotional dysregulation, okay? So when we talk about problem, reaction, solution. Now, interesting, as a side note, according to the American Psychological Association in Washington, Washington, D.C. Through the DSM-5, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, Volume 5, it talks about the emotional dysregulation disorder through Dr. Kurt Lewin that he also calls emotional instability disorder because of past trauma. Emotional instability disorder because of past trauma, which is connected to emotional impulse regulation disorder, emotional unstable personality disorder that leads to what we call hyperactivity. Now, somebody said, well, Bishop, once you get to the jelly and the donut, which is the riots? Well, in order for, and this is, and what I'm about to say is more of a joke that I tell a lot of my spiritual sons and daughters who are pastors. I tell them, you guys are so enamored. You want to get to the jelly and the donut, but you have no knowledge how to make the dough. So my job is to lay this foundation. So when we get to the jelly of what happened in Minneapolis, you will understand, you know this, man of God, but your listeners will fully understand why Black Americans think the way they think. So this Dr. Kurt Lewin was a major proponent of what we call the Gestalt Theory. Mm. It gets deeper now. Capital G-E-S-A-L-T, G-E-S-T-A-L-T. So again, capital G-E-S-T-A-L-T. So what is the Gestalt Theory? The Gestalt Theory is when organizations or foundations or initiatives are not, Brother Charlie, built upon the content of thought and information, but organizations, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, are built upon the foundation of perception. What they perceive white people to be, which is not the case. So then, Gestalt Theory is where organizations are built not through thought, but through the perception, what we call perceptual organization. In other words, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, it is a terrorist organization. Okay, now they started out well some years ago, exposing police corruption. I don't have a problem with them. But Charlie, the problem I have is the weaponization of it. Okay, so then Dr. Kurt Lewin, in my conclusion, he said, concerning rioting, he said rioting is a paradigm called cognitive form of manipulation. Oh, my Lord. In other words, rioting is a paradigm, a cognitive or cognition form of manipulation where the rioter, Minneapolis, don't even know why they are rioting. So then, when we talk about what happened to George Floyd, and again, there's another term called cognitive dissonance, okay, where it simply means that the individual holds one or two more contradictory facts and beliefs that goes against their core values, okay? So when we look at the Black thought, when we look at the psychology of Black America, not all. And again, what I'm about to say, Bishop, I am not a representative. I don't speak for Black America. I'm just revealing to you what I see from a spiritual paradigm as to why we keep doing what we're doing, Brother Charlie. So when we talk about the paradigm of manipulation through the paralysis of emotion, there is a what I call a three-tier level of thinking of many Black Americans, not all, but a great percentage, they keep falling into this three-tier paradigm of violence, hypersexuality, through the prism of victimhood. In other words, I keep telling people, especially my nieces and nephews, stop saying that you got to work 10 times harder because you're a Black woman. That's victimhood. Where did that come from? 430 years of enslavement. We're not blaming any people, But that's the psyop of the condition, Charlie, of Black America. Not all, but a great percentage through violence. You talked about the LA riots. Since 1980, 25,000 Black men, women, children have been slaughtered in South Central. Why? Because of self-hate. Okay? So when we talk about going back as early as the 1920s, the federal government of the United States of America established what they called housing covenants in Los Angeles, where they would segregate Black Americans who came from the South, went out to Los Angeles in the early part of the 1920s during the Roaring Twenties. And so through housing covenants, which that word today is called gentrification. So it's the same demon with a different name. So then from the 1920s, we go to the advent of World War II. In 1939. So then from 1939 to 1945, there were a multiplicity of jobs from Chrysler and GM and Ford, and many major American corporations moved their businesses into South Central LA. I'm talking about during the advent of World War II and after it. Now, as we go from the 40s after World War II, to the early part of the 1920s, man, it gets deeper now. And as we're talking about the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion. In the early part of the 1970s, the United States unleashed what we called the deindustrialization of urban America, where Ford and GM and Chrysler and American Steel began to leave South Central, leave South Chicago, leave East St. Louis and Detroit, which left a financial vacuum of destruction in those communities. That was done purposely. Because you have to understand, my brother, and you know this, that slavery was really not abolished. Yes, it was abolished from a legal standpoint, through the Emancipation Proclamation, all right, in 1863, and then 2 years later, in 1865, through the ratification of the 13th Amendment. But from a psyop standpoint, slavery has never been abolished. Slavery has only been redesigned. Well, how has it been redesigned? Through the deindustrialization of Black America, moving companies or corporations out of those neighborhoods and moving them either to other parts of the United States that were not considered urban or overseas. So then that created a vacuum in South Central and the state of California, which brought in the original Black Panther Party. So the original Black Panther Party was actually created not by Huey Newton, okay, but by a man by the name of Don Worden, okay, who changed his name to Dr. Khalil al-Masura. He was the mentor of Barack Obama.
Oh.
So then Barack Obama was mentored by Don Worden, okay, Dr. Khalil al-Masura, a Black radical nationalist who absolutely hated America. He mentored Barack Obama for 29 years, okay? This is the psyop of Black America, that they think that the world owes them something. I keep telling my nieces and nephews, no one, and I mean no one, owes you nothing, okay? And people, I hear people all the time, even pastors, say, oh, I believe in receiving reparations. Wait a minute now. So the term, the acronym term for reparations is to be repaired. Oh, so you're saying, even you as a doctor or lawyer, that you need to be repaired. You see the psyop of thinking that the left has manipulated the thinking and the emotions of a people who don't know who they are. They know what they are, but they don't know who they are. So the original content of reparations is to begin to grow a deeper psyop within Black America that they are owed something, that they need to be repaired. Even the original term for affirmative action was not called affirmative action. It was called affirmative property. So then what people are saying, we believe in affirmative action, but you're saying because you're Black or brown or yellow or red, that you have become a property of the state that needs to be affirmed, reaffirmed of knowing who you are. This is the reason why, man of God, that the Bible says my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. 5 minutes, and we're going to give the floor over to you. So I just want to lay this foundation. People may say, well, Bishop, what does the psychological makeup of Black America have anything to do with George Floyd? Because of the reaction. Nary thought of Black America time and time again, going back not just to the LA riots of 92, going back to the Watts riots of 67 and 68 in Oakland, California, New Jersey, after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So the 430 years of enslavement. Now getting back quickly to South Central, because you hit a powerful nerve with me for the good at the beginning of our interview. So then from the 1970s, there's a vacuum there. Then comes in the Black Panther Party. And then the Black Panther Party had received $100,000 a year from H.L. Hunt. I guarantee you the masses of Black America, they don't know that H.L. Hunt, who happened to be white, okay, whose grandson is the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL. Another topic for another day, okay? And so H.L. Hunt was one of the principal architects of the JFK assassination. H.L. Hunt gave the Black Panther Party, through Don Warden, to Huey Newton, $100,000 a year. This is the reason why Huey Newton, as a side note, was taken out. Huey Newton was not dealing drugs. Huey Newton was not a drug dealer. That was the pretext, the lie, okay, that the federal government put out, not just to neutralize Huey, but also Huey was going to expose H.L. Hunt's complicity, his financial connection to the Black Panther Party, and they took him out. It didn't make it look like it was a drug deal. So then when the Panthers came in, and then eventually they were neutralized by J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI, now it created a second vacuum. There comes the Bloods and the Crips. So the Bloods and Crips were not created by Raymond D. Washington. The Bloods and the Crips is a CIA creation in order to neutralize Black American neighborhoods, which 10, 15 years later, the Central Intelligence Agency allowed crack cocaine to come into South Central, Compton, and Watts. As a side note, the original Crips were called the Compton Pirates Gang. Pirates? Oh, that's interesting. The term pirates, which is spelled capital P-I-R-U-S, is a psychological term meaning to regurgitate. This is the psyop of how Black people think. And as a side note, before we give the floor over to you, Brother Charlie, I constantly tell African-American people, please stop calling each other the N-word, because that N-word, or even the term Negro, comes from the Greek word necro, capital N-E-C-R-O, which means autopsy of flesh or having sex with a dead body. I kid you not. Now, people are going to say, they're going to write you and say, well, Bishop, well, but the word Negro means Black in Spanish. Yes, but I'm not interpreting Negro from a Spanish lexicon interpretation. I'm interpreting Negro from a Greek interpretation, which means necrophilia, necrophiliac, or necromancy, having sex with the dead. And as a side note, I have to say this as well, that the term Negro also comes from a second Greek word, necromort, capital M-O-R-T, which means embalming fluid. So this is the side of Black America. Why we react the way that we react. And in my conclusion, there is a book called The Name Negro, Its Origin and Evil Use. Again, The Name Negro, Its Origin and Evil Use by Dr. Richard B. Moore. He talks about in chapter 3 that the term Negro, when spelled backwards through inversion from right to left, reveals the word origin, capital O-R-G-E-N, which means orgy. Again, my people destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Why am I spending so much time upon the psychological health of Black America? Because we keep falling into this trap, not just violence and hypersexuality, when men want to become women and women want to become men. When you look at Dwayne Wade, there was an interesting article some weeks ago in, I believe, in the Business Review, and I brought this up on Jason's show, that the hair of Dwayne Wade, and I believe the article in the Business Review of the Business Journal said that Dwayne Wade misunderstands LGBTQ communities. What that picture on that link showed, his hair in braids in the form of miniature pyramids. Now, why would Dwayne Wade allow his hair to be braided? Because those braids represent one of the symbols, Brother Charlie, that was declassified by the FBI as being one of the symbols that the underground pedophilia network uses. This is hypersexuality, where Black men are becoming psychologically buck broken. Okay. I even tell my nieces and nephews, okay, stop wearing baggy jeans going below your behind. Why? Because the origin, the origination of the baggy jean came up out of the 1970s from two homosexual men in the prison in Joliet, Illinois, that they created the concept of the baggy jean in order to distinguish who their homosexual lover was and who was buck broken. Well, when you look on the Urban Dictionary and spell the word sagging, capital S-A-G-G-I-N, if you spell it backwards through inversion, it reveals the psyop of capital N-I-G-G-A-S. It's a psyop. Or the term sagging with the G at the end, inversion, right to left, then it's G, then capital N-I-G-G-A-S, G, or not G unit with 50 Cent, but G-N-I-G-G-A-S. That's a psyop that a man has been emasculated. Black people don't know this, okay? As we're talking about the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion. So then Black people are being used as puppets on a string, okay? And I've said this multiple times on Jason's show, that white people, and this is going to blow away your listeners, white people did not create the Ku Klux Klan. Again, we're talking about the paradigm of manipulation through the psyop of emotionalism. White people did not create the Ku Klux Klan. Well, there was an attorney in 1865 by the name of Judah Philip Benjamin, okay, who had a 15-year-old wife. He was a pedophilist, okay? He was a Rothschild agent who was not only an attorney, though he never graduated from law school. He was from Great Britain. But he became an attorney, became a state attorney during the time of the Confederacy, and was also the Secretary of State in war in the Confederacy during the time before and during the advent of the Civil War. Now, there is a powerful book called The Authentic History of the Ku Klux Klan from 1865 to 1877, by Dr. Susan Lawrence Davis, who was the daughter of the founding father of the Alabama State KKK. She said that white people had nothing to do with the creation. We have been lied to when we're talking about the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion. We, you and I, as brothers, we've been lied to, okay? We've been taught that Albert Pike was the creator of the Klan, which he was not. Albert Pike was put in charge to be the face of the Klan through the authority of Judah Philip Benjamin, who was a Rothschild agent. So with Rothschild money, they created the Klan from the foundation of the Knights of the Golden Circle, which is a high level of Masonic order today. But the Klan came out of that, right? And the Knights of the Golden Circle was absorbed in the Ku Klux Klan with Rothschild money, Kazarian money, through Judah Philip Benjamin, hired Albert Pike, who was a 33rd and 1/2 degree Mason, to be the face of the Klan. Albert Pike was white. And Albert Pike then later hired a Confederate general, Nathan Bedford Forrest, to also to become the face of the new generation of Klansmen. So white people did not create the KKK. This has been a lie and a psyop since 1865. And as a quick side note, your listeners, study about the book called The 1912, but by Israel Cohen, called A Racial Program for the 20th Century. A Racial Program for the 20th Century. And I brought this up on Jason's show a few times. Israel Cohen, who was a part of the Fabian Society out of London, England, right, going back to the 40s and 50s, had written a manifesto where people are going to try to debunk, and he says that's anti-Semitic. It didn't exist. It did exist. The book is banned, okay, all over the world. But Israel Cohen gave a future prophecy concerning black versus white, white versus black, class versus class, religion versus religion. This is where I get the term religion. Legion means demon. That's another topic for another day. And so Israel Cohen was prophetically declaring the future that through Hollywood, the Kanzarian Mafia would create a psyop of white genocide by decapitating the psyop of black people against white people. This is what Hollywood has done, okay? This is what they have done. And now, you and I, we have awakened. So that 1912 book by Israel Cohen, he was a part of the Fabian Society, okay? He was also one of the founding fathers of the London, England, UK, St. Tammany Hall, which became Tammany Hall here in New York City, which was the Democratic left-wing political machine, which no longer exists. And we also brought this up on Jason's show. What am I saying in my conclusion? I'm saying that through the manipulation of the pain in the trauma of black people, puppet masters like George Soros, okay, Warren Buffett in his Sunnybrook Farm persona, and Bill Gates, okay, Barack Obama, they want to destroy fundamentally the foundation of what makes us the greatest nation on earth. Why? Because these devils want power. It is to destroy the first constitution, because in actuality, and you know this, Brother Charlie, we had two constitutions, right? The one from 1776, which later was ratified 5 years later in 1781, and then 95 years later from 1776 to 1871, the ratification of the second constitution, which forced the United States to become a corporation. Mm-hmm. With the pressure from Pope Pius IX out of the Vatican and the financial backing of the Rothschilds, pressured President Ulysses S. Grant to remove the United States for America to the United States of America. So President Trump, I believe, is ordained by God to destroy the second constitution, which is a counterfeit the Constitution, because the United States was never designed by the framers to be a corporation. And newsflash, we were never designed not just to be a corporation, Charlie, but we were never designed by the framers to be a democracy. We were designed by God to be a republic, a Christian Republic nation, serving one God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, as we end this here today and give the floor over to you for Q&A, this is what I've been doing. Every week, probably every other day, I'm on a radio show or podcast somewhere around the world. And I keep telling Black people all over the world, stop calling yourself African. Oh, I got everyone's attention now. Why would I say that? What does this have to do with George Floyd? Because of the reaction of us, because of our trauma and pain, we don't know who we are. And Black America, I'm going to say this, this is going to be mind-blowing. We're the only group of people on the planet who don't know who we are, Charlie. So we go from Negro to Afro, to Afro-American, colored, African, African-American. We're all over the map. We don't know who we are. 50% of the GDP, the gross domestic product, of the Nike Corporation out of Portland, Oregon, comes from the PSYOP of Black people. 50% of the billions of dollars worth of sales of athletic shoes and sports garments and clothing comes from Black people. They don't know who they are. They don't understand. They don't own one penny. I'm talking about the masses, not all. They don't own a penny of any stock in Nike, whether it's through the NASDAQ report in the Russell Index or the S&P 500. But they can tell you who is the starting five for the Los Angeles Lakers. That's PSYOP, okay? So when you're talking about the psychological makeup of what happened in Minneapolis, it was designed and staged by the deep state using the death, the tragic death of George Floyd as a pawn. Let me say this again. George Floyd, Freddie Gray in Baltimore, okay? Michael Brown in Ferguson, Eric Garner here in New York City, God rest their souls, Charlie, but they were used as pawns in this global deep state Luciferian game in order for the left to enact a Saul Alinsky psyop of what we call chaos theory, order out of chaos. And so then this Saul Alinsky tactic, and that's a side note, and I say, thank you, Lord, for bringing this to my mind. Saul Alinsky's parents, and I'm going to get back to the African, why we should not call ourselves African. Saul Alinsky's parents, okay, were Russian immigrants who took part of the October 1917 Bolshevik Revolution. The parents of Saul Alinsky, okay, Benjamin Alinsky and Sarah Tannenbaum worked with Trotsky, Lenin, and Stalin.
Whoa.
So Trotsky, Lenin, and Stalin sent them to Chicago to establish a communist caliphate, which later produced their son, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, and would later produce political children like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. These devils want to destroy the Constitution, okay? The original Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights, right? Because they want to sell these United States of America to who? To the United Nations, okay? Through H.R. 1111. These devils, this Jezebel Nancy Pelosi and Adam Shifty Schiff, okay? Now, I have a lot of listeners who's been telling me that Adam Schiff, it was related to Jacob Schiff, who gave Leon Trotsky a $20 million check to take back to Russia in order to finance the Russian Revolution. That cannot be substantiated if Adam Schiff is in the same bloodline as Jacob Schiff of Kuhn, Loeb & Company. So then what I'm saying, man of God, that in my conclusion, and thank you for your patience, to understand the paradigm, the replication of manipulation, and the paralysis of emotion with the inability of the individual to decipher and to filter out the trauma in order to see that the death of George Floyd was not racial, but it was a financial transaction. And as a side note, Derek Chauvin, he should get the death penalty. I don't have a problem with that. And to Black Lives Matter, those of you who are listening, I don't have a problem with Black Lives Matter exposing police corruption. The problem I have, Charlie, is the weaponization of it. Just like Me Too, okay, is the weaponization of it. So then, now getting to why Black people should not call themselves African, and again, thank you for your patience as we're laying the schematical foundation concerning the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion. Now, there was a man, a general in Roman history by the name of Scipio Africanus, who had defeated Hannibal in Carthage, which is Libya today, going back to 202 BC during the Second Punic War. Now, when we understand the history of the Roman Empire and the military history of the art of war through Rome, I'm not talking about the art of war out of China, but the art of war through the military side of the Roman Empire. When they would conquer a nation or a country or a territory, they would often change the name of that country, continent, and territory from its original name to the name of the Roman family through which the general that represented the family conquered it. So the term Africa comes from a Roman general of the Africanus family. Scipio Africanus had changed the name of the continent from Akebulan, capital A-K-E-B-U-L-A-N, which is a Coptic Egyptian word, meaning the Garden of Eden. Another topic for another day. So when Hannibal was defeated in 202 BC during the Second Punic War, then Scipio Africanus changed the name of the entire continent from Akebulan, which means the Garden of Eden, to Africanus, which is called Africa today. This is the reason why I teach Black America, stop calling yourself African American. Okay, you hate white people, but you have just named yourself through a psyop, a paradigm of manipulation. You're replicating your entire life through the concept of the paralysis of your emotions to a general and to his family, the Africanus family, who were practitioners of spirit cooking, child pedophilia, and child sacrifice during the Roman Empire.
Whoa.
Again, 90% of the names, this is heavy here, and thank you so much for, you got so much patience, Charlie. Yeah. You got that power. 90% of the names of the African countries are named after Roman, Greek, and Persian families. 90%, maybe definitely want to come back one day to break that down. 90% of the names of the African countries on the African continent are named after some Roman, Greek, or Persian family. This is the reason why Black people are in the condition that they're in. And you and I, we have touched on before, along with Jason, concerning the Blue Lace Secret Society. And I won't go down that road. We know about that saga, okay? So on the chest of Mr. Floyd was an eagle insignia, okay, which represents the Latin word ordo ad chael, capital C-H-A-L, chael. Wait a minute now. So order ad chael is a Latin Vulgate expression, which means order out of chaos, okay, with the double-headed wing of an eagle, with the number 33 in the middle. Who was George Floyd? Who was he connected to? So this is fluid here, okay? I don't believe that the death of Mr. Floyd was racial, okay? Because the owner of this El Nebo Rodeo Club, she lied and said that she didn't know, she had no idea that George Floyd and Derek Chauvin knew each other. She's lying. And she's lying, Charlie, because she knows why. specifically why George Floyd was taken out. Okay. And so I just wanted to lay that foundation. Oh, this is so powerful here today, concerning the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotions. And I'm so glad that you brought up the LA riots. It was all about gentrification. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is what they do. Just like the riots in Ferguson and Baltimore and Minneapolis, the deep state devils, and we're talking about Berkshire Hathaway, who owns 80%, okay, 80% of the buildings, not all the buildings in Minneapolis, but the buildings that were destroyed. So then Berkshire Hathaway owns those buildings. Okay, and through the National Indemnity Corporation, which is a major insurance corporation that Warren Buffett owns, they are now underwriting the insurance policy of these buildings that they own, and they're making billions of dollars. Wait a minute. So they don't have to rent earth-moving equipment or bulldozers. Why? Because they're using human capital called the rioters. And Black people have no idea that they are being played and used, okay, to benefit the deep state and not any Black or white person. They're being used. And so that's my conclusion of what we call the paradigm of manipulation and the what I call the psychosis, not just the psychosis, but the paralysis of emotion. The floor is yours, my friend.
Oh, wow. It's so powerful. My brain hurts from all that. You know, it's funny. You mentioned Steven Jackson, and I didn't know that he had any relationship in this whole thing, except that when I saw George Floyd's face the first time, I thought to myself, man, that guy looks just like Steven Jackson from the Indiana Pacers. And now you mentioned that there is a connection to the two of them. That kind of blows my mind. Hey, I'm wondering about this. Like, there was every reason in the world for Black America, hell, everyone, every America, every color, to be angry about Tamir Rice and Eric Garner and all of these other, I mean, if we're talking about the justification to spark a riot, there was every bit as much justification for the death of these fellows than there was for George Floyd. So I wonder, was it intentional that George Floyd was going to be the trigger? Was it a combination of us feeling kind of cooped up for the last 3 months in our house and the, you know, this feeling of pressure and tension towards the police that had been really inconsistent in their policing strategies towards things like people being on the beach or people being out on playgrounds or people opening up their nail salon tested? And we're starting to see all this, and people, decent people, people that were just you know, following the instructions and the rules laid down by whoever, Fauci or the government, you know, people are watching this and they're going, hey, this is an irrational reaction to people just standing in parks or being at the beach, and the police are grabbing people and, you know, twisting them up and throwing them face down and handcuffing them, taking them out. So was the George Floyd thing, why was he picked as opposed to Tamir Rice?
That's a great question. And again, that is a deep, profound question. No one has ever asked me that during this whole time I've been on these shows talking about the riots. I believe that there's more information to come as to why George Floyd and his connection to Stephen Jackson. And that's a sign, and to answer your question, that's a heavy question. The mother of Stephen Jackson, a woman by the name of Judiette Jackson, okay? Judiette Jackson, capital J-U-D-Y-E-T-T-E, okay? But the mother of George Floyd was a woman by the name of Judy Jackson. Wait a minute, I'm confused now. So you have Judiette Jackson, the mother of Stephen Jackson, former NBA player. And the mother of George Floyd, Judy Jackson, who supposedly died 2 years ago, God rest her soul if that was the case. something is not right about this case. Either he was chosen as a pawn or he's still alive. I know that sounds crazy, George.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So think about this. So to answer your question, look at the mother of Stephen Jackson, Juliet Jackson, the mother of George Floyd. Her name was Judy Jackson. Now, we've heard Stephen Jackson say multiple times, and this might have been a term of endearment, that George Floyd was my twin. They look like each other, okay? And so the name is connecting to these dots to answer your question. So the name of the nightclub, okay, this El Nuevo Rodeo Club, Stephen Jackson played for a semi-pro team before he went to the NBA called the Pueblo Nuevo team. The same name as the club. And that might be a coincidence. But regarding the deep state, nothing is by coincidence. But back, why was George Floyd chosen? Exactly. And why on that street? Was that he died what on what? 38th Avenue, 38th Street. Well, there is a former NFL player by the name of George Floyd who had the number 38. But this George Floyd died on 38th Street. Again, it might be coincidental, but in the mindset of the deep state, nothing is by accident. And why? Why is Benjamin Crump always the attorney? And I put up a post some weeks ago, and you had powerfully supported that, I believe it was a few weeks ago, concerning that Benjamin Crump was a boule. On the Benjamin Crump website, the Benjamin Crump Institute website, it's there. And all your listeners can go to the Benjamin Crump Institute website, right, and go to about him, the third paragraph down, the fourth and fifth sentence, and I even brought this up to Jason multiple times, that Benjamin Crump is a member of Sigma Pi Phi Boule. Mm-hmm. Now, what is Sigma Pi Phi, which they are Boule? The term Boule is a Greek term stating that they are the guardians, the protectors, not of black people or brown people or white people. That they don't protect us, Brother Charlie. The Boule Secret Society, they are the guardians of the system, okay? They're going back to 1915, not to get away from your question, but this kind of ties into your question as to why George Floyd was chosen and not a Freddie Rice, you know, or Tamir Rice or a Freddie Gray or Tamir Rice or Eric Garner here in New York City. But the Boule Secret Society was started by 9 black men in the hometown of Kobe Bryant in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the 15th of May, 1904. Dr. Henry McKee Minton, including Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, and we in Black America, we call Dr. Du Bois a house Negro. And the reason why we call him that, Brother Charlie, because he sold us out. How did he sell us out? Because Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois had signed off on the 1939 Negro Project for the extermination of black people through Planned Parenthood. So these 9 black men had also not just created the Boule Secret Society, but they created what we call the National Pan-Hellenic Divine 9 of 9 black Greek letter fraternities and sororities, Alpha Psi Alpha, Omega Psi Phi, Louis Farrakhan was inducted into Omega Psi Phi. And we talked about that. I put that posting up on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. People were blown away. And people said, well, where did you get this information, Bishop? On Farrakhan's website. it blew their minds. And wait a minute. So Farrakhan is supposed to be this man that exposed this secret societies, but he was inducted into Omega Psi Phi. Okay. That's in the Final Call, not just the Final Call newspaper, but the Final Call website, which is part of the official website for the Nation of Islam. Why would he be inducted into the Pan-Hellenic Divine Nine? Omega Psi Phi is under the umbrella of the Boule. So you have the Boule in these 9 black Greek letter secret societies. Okay. And for your listeners, if I can just say this real quickly, Brother Charlie, that the Pan-Hellenic, and the term pan means cornucopia, which means a two-horned demon. So then why were Black people, through these nine Black scholars who were prohibited of joining Yale University Skulls and Bones, right, that was created by Alphonse de Taff at Yale University. So then these nine Black scholars, from Dr. Henry McKean Minton to Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, created, each one of these nine men created each of the nine Black Greek secret societies. Alpha Phi Alpha, they protect the Rothschilds. Kappa Alpha Psi, they protect the Oppenheimers. Omega Psi Phi, they protect the Warburgs, the creators of the Federal Reserve System on Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia in December 1913. Phi Beta Sigma, they protect the Rockefellers. Lota Phi Theta, they protect the John Jacob Astor family. Alpha Kappa Alpha, they protect the Bilderbergs. Delta Sigma Theta, they protect the Habsburgs. Zeta Phi Beta, they protect the Sassoon family. Who is the Sassoon family? They have bankrolled the China Opium Wars from 1839 to 1860, which the Sassoon family controls, not just the opium drug trade, okay, but the poppy trade coming out of the Middle East, more specifically through Afghanistan. And Vidal Sassoon was a blood progenitor, a descendant of the Sassoon Khazarian dynasty out of India. They were protected and they're still protected by Zeta Phi Beta. Okay. And the Li family out of China, capital L-I, which they are a part of the Chinese mafia who had created the triads. Mm-hmm. They're protected by Sigma Gamma Rho. Now, why would I bring all of these Black secret societies in protecting each of these nine knights, or what I call the Luciferian Knights of the Round Table, according to the 1954 book by Dr. Charles H. Wesley, The History of Sigma Pi Phi, that he says on page 146, that the Boule secret society of the National Pan-Hellenic Divine Nine, from Alpha Phi Alpha to Sigma Gamma Rho, would protect one of the each of these Illuminati bloodlines. Wait a minute now. How does this happen? Through the creation of Black colleges and universities. Oh man, this gets deeper now. Most of the Black colleges and universities were not funded by Black people. Not to get away from your initial question concerning George Floyd, but that to answer that question, I have to bring up the Boules, because there was a man by the name of Julius Rosenwald, mm-hmm. who was the creator of the Sears Roebuck Company. Julius Rosenwald was best friends, okay, with not just John D. Rockefeller, but he was also very good friends with Hollywood director Sister B. DeMille. Sister B. DeMille had a mistress. Her name was Margaret Sanger. So Margaret Sanger, in order for her to start the first Black clinic in Harlem, in actuality, the very first abortion clinic in American history was in Brownsville, New York in 1916. Back then, it was mostly Black and a few Jews. Now it's mostly Jewish and a few Blacks, okay? So then as we juxtapose from 1916 to 1929, okay? So then from 1916 to 1929, 13 years later, Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois helps Margaret Sanger get funding. John D. Rockefeller gave $100,000 to his best friend, Julius Rosenwald. Julius Rosenwald transferred that money to his good friend, Hollywood director Sister B. DeMille, and to his mistress, Margaret Sanger. See, because darkness comes in layers, what we call the compartmentalization of darkness. Okay, to understand even the death of Kobe Bryant, it's a layer. That's another topic for another day concerning the global pharmaceutical industrial complex. I won't even go down that road, but I want to stick to George Floyd. So then in 1929, Margaret Sanger asked Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, and we're talking about the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion. So then why did Margaret Sanger want to target Black America, just like why was George Floyd targeted in Minnesota? Why him? Okay. George Floyd was connected to the owner of this club. Okay. This Mayan Santa Maria, and the term Santa Maria comes from the Latin words Santeria, which is witchcraft in Latin American theology. That's another topic for another day. It has nothing to do with your question. But this Miss Santa Maria, who's connected to Vanessa Bryant, doesn't mean that she had anything to do with Kobe's death. I'm just a dot connector. Right. And why do I do that? I connect out so that your listeners can come up with the proper conclusion. But Miss Santa Maria, she knows as to why George Floyd died. George Floyd will allow a lot of his friends to come into the club for free. And many times, a lot of his friends were African-Americans, including Steven Jackson. They would not have to pay for the drinks and meals. This was a problem to Santa Maria, to Miss Santa Maria. So when she says that, I didn't know that that was George Floyd, and I didn't know that he knew Derek Chauvin, she's lying, Charlie, because she knows as to the real reasons why he was chosen. Now, Derek Chauvin, I've been hearing crazy stories, and now I'm a historian. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy realist. I go by facts and data and links. It's coming out now that George Floyd was into pornography, including Derek Chauvin, that Derek Chauvin was a part. I have a cousin who's a detective in Minneapolis. OK, so I'm getting inside information. But Derek Chauvin was also a drug runner who worked with George Floyd, who was also a drug runner in Baltimore, Freddie Gray. Freddie Gray was taken out in Baltimore. He was a drug runner for who? For the Baltimore Police Department. Mm-hmm. So the death of Freddie Gray had nothing to do with racism. It was a drug deal gone bad, which Freddie Gray was going to expose the entire apparatus of the Baltimore Police Department. But see, Black people, they don't have, what I'm about to say, only I can say this as a Black person, okay? Black people in Baltimore, they didn't have the emotional intelligence to sit down and to decipher who Freddie Gray was. They didn't know Freddie Gray. Just like the rioters in Minneapolis, they didn't know George Floyd. Like the rioters in Ferguson, they didn't know Michael Brown, who was a thug, okay? And the rioters in Sanford, Florida, they didn't know Trayvon Martin, whose father is a 33rd degree Mason and a Black Prince Hall Mason. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. So why George Floyd is connected to his business dealings, not just to the former owner of the club, okay? This Mayan Santa Maria, Miss Santa Maria, but her connection to possibly drugs and going throughout her club, because her club was raided many times. Okay. This is insider information. Her club was raided many times because of drugs. The question we have to ask ourselves to answer your question, what did Mr. Floyd know? Yeah. Had nothing to do with race. So then Mr. Floyd was, and I know Black people are going to get upset with me, but I have to reveal the truth. Okay. Now, what I'm about to reveal, my cousin did not tell me this. So and if he did tell me, I would not even reveal his name. Do not want to get him in trouble. He's a detective in one of the precincts in Minneapolis. So what I'm about to say did not come from him. Okay. But it came from someone that he gave the information to give to me. So in order to protect my cousin, according to this source, that's connected to my cousin, he said that the club was the conduit for drug trafficking in Minneapolis. That the owner, the former owner, Miss Santa Maria, was involved in drug trafficking, okay? Which her club was raided many times, and George Floyd was a conduit for drug trafficking in Minneapolis to the Black community, and Derek Chauvin was a drug runner representing the Minneapolis Police Division. So then this is how deep this goes. And so to answer your question, it's a powerful question, and I do apologize for taking so long to answer, but I cannot give a simple answer. And of course, you're not asking that, but I cannot give a simple answer to that complex question because it has to do with drug running. Wow. Okay, drug distribution and trafficking, just like the death of Freddie Gray in Baltimore. Freddie Gray was a drug runner for the Baltimore apparatus, the total apparatus of the Baltimore Police Department. That's why they took him out. Had nothing to do with racism, okay? Now, with Trayvon Martin, not to get away from your question, and thank you for your patience as we're talking about the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion here today on your powerful show. Trayvon Martin's body, and this is in connection to, Freddie Gray in Baltimore, Michael Brown in Ferguson, okay, Tamir Rice, okay, Eric Garner here in New York City. Trayvon Martin's body was missing for 4 days. His mother, no one knew where his body was. They knew he was murdered, but they didn't know where his body was for 4 days. Now, there's a crazy rumor. I don't go by rumors, I go by facts, that former Vice President Dick Cheney was in the area who had a heart transplant.
Yeah.
So most of the organ harvesting in America comes from the organs of Black men and women. And there's thousands of whites too and Asians, but the higher percentage of organs that are extracted from American bodies to be sold on the black market around the world in China and Israel and throughout the Middle East comes from Black people. Why? Because Black people carry an element called melanin. So melanin is an ingredient within the anatomy of the black body that protects us from getting skin cancers, different types of cancers that black people normally don't get, okay? And so melanin is also sold on the stock exchange. I know it's crazy. Melanin sold on the stock exchange, not just here in New York City, but all over the world. All these stock exchanges in China, in London, in the United Arab Emirates, melon. The melon is sold, and anyone can look this up, authenticated. So getting back to what we're talking about with Mr. Floyd, according to my source, okay, had nothing to do with racism. It was a drug deal gone bad that Derek Chauvin had to take out George Floyd because of what George Floyd was going to expose the entire apparatus of the Minnesota Police Department. Yes.
That is something that I can definitely see happening. Yes. We do know that the police run protection rackets for drug runners. We do know that they make that. Hey, anyone wants to see a great documentary on this, go watch a documentary called The 7-5, which is about the police officers in the early 80s in New York and the sort of what they were doing, robbing drug dealers and yes, setting them up and listening on their radios for when a bust was going to go down and then intercepting it in advance. And oh my God, what a crazy document. You can find it on YouTube. It's free, I've watched it twice. It's insane. So we know that this happens. We know that the police, I get it. The police are supposed to be busting drug dealers and everything, but a lot of times they protect, they protect the guys on the corner. They, they have an arrangement where money changes hands and some people are allowed to continue their business operation. Some people are not. If this is a case where George Floyd was expected to provide some sort of money to somebody and it didn't get there, that could be a reason for doing it. If he was about to talk about this operation, that could obviously be a reason for doing it. There's so much. It's just like anything. Here we are. We're a week into this. You and I've talked for an hour and a half about this. We could talk for three more hours about it and still not get all the way everything figured out, because like it is early on, there's a lot of misdirection happening. So we're going to go in a bunch of different directions. We're going to dig into the truth. But I'll tell you what, there's one person that I can count on to expose a deeper, a much deeper level to this. And that is you, the Bishop Larry Gators. I mean, tell these people where they can find you, where they can check out your work. We're obviously, you and I aren't going to get to the bottom of this in one episode. This is going to be an ongoing thing, but you have no idea how much I appreciate you coming in here and enlightening on some of the details behind this, the stuff that'll never make it on the nightly news, that'll never get written about in the in the New York Times or the Washington Post or anything like this. Tell these people where they can find out more information about you, your ministry, what you're doing, and the information that you have.
Thank you so much, Brother Charlie, and for your patience. It's so much to unpack, but I am the host of the nationally syndicated Global Spiritual Revolution Radio through the Life Radio Network, 92.9 FM, 1460 AM here in New York City and also out of New Jersey. Also, we are internationally syndicated through the iHeartRadio Network and the iHeartMedia Group, also here in New York City, New York. We reach on the average between 20 to 25 million listeners each week. That may sound like a big number, but it's not compared to 7.6 billion people upon the face of the earth. They can also subscribe to our YouTube channel by going on to YouTube and type in Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Again, Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. And if they have not yet subscribed to us, and they will receive weekly teachings from the bishop, not just on my radio show as the host of Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, but also a lot of my guest spots on radio shows and podcasts all over the world. I mean, I get invitations, I'm telling, between 80 and 120 invitations. I kid you not. My staff sends me every Friday an email list of radio shows, radio stations, and podcasts from all over the world, because, especially on the Kobe Bryant thing, they were so blown away. Also, they can follow me on social media. My Twitter handle is at Bishop L. Gators. It's G-A-I-T-E-R-S. Again, that's at Bishop L. Gators, G-A-I-T-E-R-S. And they can also follow me on Facebook, you know, facebook.com/ Bishop L. Gators, all right? On facebook.com/ Bishop L. Gators. That's G-A-I-T-E-R-S. And we also have an official page, Global Spiritual Revolution Radio page on Facebook, that they can follow us there as well. And can I say this real quick, too, concerning Stephen Jackson's mother, okay? Juliet Jackson. Now, it's to my understanding that Stephen Jackson, who calls Mr. Floyd his twin, and they do look like each other, okay? That Stephen Jackson's mother is the executive director of the Golden Triangle Adult Daycare Center. Golden Triangle Adult Daycare Center in Port Arthur, Texas. That is the hometown, okay, of Stephen Jackson. And later, George Floyd, they grew up together. So the mother of Stephen Jackson, Juliet Jackson, is, and they can look her up, Juliet Jackson, Golden Triangle Adult Daycare Center. And what really stands out to me is these words, Golden Triangle, okay? Mm-hmm. The father of Stephen Jackson was a 33rd degree Prince Hall Mason by the name of George Aldridge, capital A-L-D-R-I-D-G-E. George Aldridge, all right, the late George Aldridge, was the father of the former NBA basketball player Stephen Jackson. When his father died, his father passed down his Prince Hall Masonic clothing to Stephen Jackson, okay? And Stephen Jackson also introduced George Floyd to Prince Hall Black Masonic information and Prince Hall Masonry, and that's another point. In my conclusion, also, this Maya Santa Maria. Now, I don't want my Spanish brothers and sisters to be emailing me, okay, and saying, Bishop, you know, you're blaming the Latino community of Minneapolis. That's not the case. My job is to connect the dots, as we're talking about, and for the past hour and a half, concerning this type of manipulation, okay, the paradigm of manipulation and the paralysis of emotion. So this former nightclub owner, Maya Santa Maria, okay, owns a radio station called the La Raza, 95.7 FM. They burnt that down.
Yeah. Okay. I heard that.
So then her radio station, this La Raza 95.7 FM, was totally burned down by who? The rioters. Okay. But she seemed so calm after they burned down her station. But she said she had no idea that George Floyd and Derek Chauvin knew each other. That's a lie. This was a drug deal gone bad. George Floyd was going to expose Derek Chauvin because Derek Chauvin owed George Floyd money and was also going to expose Maya Santamaria, who also worked with Derek Chauvin in the drug distribution, in the drug trafficking involving the entire apparatus of the Minneapolis Police Department. This is how deep it goes. I just wanted to bring that clarification because 3 days after the death of George Floyd, you probably know this story. There was a cop in Paris, France, who put his knee on the neck of a black man in Paris, France, and also out of London, England. Man, what's going on here? So again, Stephen Jackson, his mother, Judia Jackson, okay? She is the director of the Golden Triangle Adult Daycare Center there in Port Arthur, Texas. And interesting enough, the mother of George Floyd, who died 2 years ago, that's what they're saying, her name was Judy Jackson. I'm confused. So it was a drug deal gone bad. George Floyd was going to expose not just Derek Chauvin, but also the former owner of this nightclub, Maya Santamaria. This was a drug deal gone bad, okay? And that's my conclusion of the paradigm of manipulation in the paralysis of emotion. Thank you so much, brother. And also, if you listeners, if they want to give financially with your permission, I'm like a machine here. If you want to give financially, please go to paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. Again, paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. One more time, paypal.me/GSRR Media Group. Please bless us, whether it's $50, $100. I know things are tight right now because of the shutdown, but please, if you believe in our work, that we have a team of researchers, right? Where I have a staff of 25 people, and 10 of those 25, they do nothing but research. They're people who are retired from their careers, and they help me research, all right? All of the things that the bishop teaches, not just on my radio show, but your show, Jason's show, and radio shows and podcasts all over the world. Thank you so much, Brother Charlie, for allowing me to come on your powerful show, and we're going to get you back on Global Spiritual Radio. And I applaud you for the great work that you're doing.
Thank you for having me on your show. It was cool to get, while we were doing it, we were getting calls from Afghanistan and Pakistan and United Arab Emirates and Michigan and all over the place. I was blown away.
All over the world. And they were blown away because of your book, and they're blown away because you were revealing things to us that we didn't know. And that's the truther movement. And those of us who are awake, and no one has a monopoly on the truth. But I thank God for you, Brother Charlie. And I thank God for your work and for your ministry. And give my love to your family and your wife. She's taking care of you, man. And
I will.
I'm telling you. Whatever you're
bought,
I'm gonna sell it.
we're living in crazy times, and I'll tell you, I appreciate you coming in and being able to dig deep into this. And thank you, everybody, for watching. You'll have all the information where you can get a hold of the bishop. And thanks for checking us out, everybody.